Hi, this is Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and we are here today interviewing Christy Dreyer. Christy is the director of the Cecil College Nursing Program in Maryland and was actually one of my professors when I was in nursing school. And so I'm very pleased to have Christy here to talk with us about, first of all, her track through nursing as a nurse, and then how she became a nurse educator, and then also a little bit about the state of nursing education right now and where it's going. So, Christy, welcome to the Nursing Show.
Well, thank you, Jamie, and thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. So, Christy, first off, how did you become a nurse? What drove you to go to nursing school, and how did that work start for you?
I'd love to say that I really wanted to when I was a child. I'd love to say that I had this burning desire, but realistically, I was in high school and probably didn't really know what I wanted and just had that very vague comment of, I'd love to help people. And that's what a lot of our students have, and I kind of started out the same way. So I went into a BSN program right out of high school out in Western Pennsylvania, Indiana University of Pennsylvania. Excellent school.
Excellent. And so from there, did you go into a traditional med-surg setting? What specialty did you start out in?
I actually did. I thought at the time I wanted pediatrics until I did a pediatric rotation. Loved children, but realized that there were some things having to do with parents I just felt at 20 years old I couldn't really deal with well. So I chose med-surg to get a good solid background to have a nice broad base, and knew that I wanted just basic med-surg, and ended up really, really liking med-surg. I like med-surg. I mean, critical care is fun, and peds is fun, and I've done a little bit in all of these areas, but I like med-surg, particular surgery, post-op patients. So I went to a med-surg floor. This was the early 80s, so there was a huge nursing shortage. So as soon as I was physically capable, and at the time it was a six-month waiting period to get your license, as soon as I had that license, I was thrown into charge because it was a real bad nursing shortage at the time in New York State. That's where I got my first job, and stayed in med-surg for a long time. Started precepting students, and the rest is history.
History, huh? So when you come into that setting, and you stayed in med-surg, about how long did you stay in the clinical setting before you thought about moving into education?
I don't know if it was a real thought process, to be honest, Jamie. I kind of started precepting, having been in med-surg a couple of years and had some experience and had, you know, really guided a whole bunch of new grads and nursing assistants through orientation. I was approached by the local community college to see if I wanted to be an adjunct faculty. And at the time, it just seemed something interesting to do because I really enjoyed precepting. I really enjoyed that process. So I did, and fell in love with nursing education. I mean, the light bulbs going on and the connections being made, it was really remarkable. I still feel that way. It's been, you know, almost 20 years now for me, and I still feel that way.
It's exciting to see people learn and to relive that excitement through their eyes. I think it's one of the things that I enjoy giving information over the shows here. I can understand that completely.
Well, it also keeps you on your toes. There's always a question being asked that you may not know the answer to, or you really have to think about. There's always something more, something challenging you. And again, and so that's the one aspect. And then you're right. The light bulbs going on, the connections being made, someone else discovering their passion, it is, to combine all of that, it just makes for a really interesting, exciting career, which sounds really corny, but I really mean it. It's really wonderful. Very lucky.
And it gives you a chance to taste a little bit of everything again. I mean, you do get to experience, you know, the other rotations with the students as they go through it.
And there's always something new in nursing, or in healthcare for that matter. So that's also very interesting for me anyways. I like the challenge.
So we have a shortage of nursing faculty, I guess, because so many schools are trying to ramp up their programs to meet demands for new nurses, and there just aren't enough faculty members, either as preceptors or as in lecturing staff. What do you say to those nurses that may be on the fence about whether this is something that's for them? Is there a way that they can dip their feet in the water and kind of get an idea of this, if education is a track that they can attempt?
Try it. That's all I have to say is try it. You'll know very quickly whether you like it or not. You know, I do want to add too, there's a shortage not only because of nursing programs trying to increase enrollment, because many are, but there's also a shortage just because there's a shortage of nurses. And if there's a shortage of nurses, that translates into a shortage of faculty. And I have to tell you too, not to be whining, because I'm not, I would not change what I do. Part of what's contributing to the shortage in faculty is the capacity of MSN and doctoral programs, because you have to have your master's degree in many instances or your doctoral degree, and there's not a lot of faculty for those programs. In addition, faculty salaries have not caught up to clinician salaries. So if I want to go for my master's degree and spend all that time and money and energy, what I'm going to make when I'm a practicing NP or a clin spec is going to be a lot more than I'm going to make as a nursing educator. You know, that's you know, a downside it could make. So that's also impacting it now. Salaries are catching up across the country as everyone's realizing we have to have plenty of qualified, competent nursing faculty to have qualified, competent nurses. So it's starting to catch up, but all of that is, you know, has been years gone by. It's contributed to the shortage of faculty. I would say if you're interested in teaching, try it. I would try precepting if you're fairly new to it, to see if you actually like mentoring at all. It gives you some idea of what teaching's like. And try it. You'll know very quickly. Try a semester of clinical teaching. You'll love it or hate it.
That's good advice. How similar do you think is precepting students to being involved in your facility mentoring programs, where you're bringing on new staff and educating new nurses that have already passed their boards and are coming into facilities? Is there a similarity there? So if it's something you already do, you may have an idea that that's something for you?
You mean comparing being a clinical faculty member to precepting or mentoring?
Yes.
Okay. They're very similar. Only in the fact that you're doing some of the same things. You're really guiding someone's growth. You're encouraging them to think things through. You're encouraging them to become an independent practitioner. So when I'm talking about a new graduate that you're mentoring or precepting, they're just a little farther along in the continuum. Whereas if I'm talking about a brand new student who's just entering a long-term care facility for the very first time and is afraid to step in a room, you're just at a different place. A lot of the habits that you're going to have are going to be very similar. I guess the biggest difference, and what was for me was the hardest, and I think it's true for many faculty initially, is when you're mentoring or precepting, you're doing some evaluation, but it's not, there's an assumption that they're minimally competent and they're safe because they've graduated from a program and because they've taken their NCLEX successfully. When you're working with new students, you do not have that assumption, because they're brand new to the field. So there may be a little bit more of an evaluative or an assessment component to it as a faculty member than there might be as a preceptor. And then, too, you're working with more students. When you're precepting, it's a one-on-one relationship. When you're teaching, it's in the clinical setting, it's usually a 1-to-8 relationship. So it's a little bit different. So you have to learn how to multitask. But if you're a nurse caring for a patient assignment of 5 to 6 to 10 patients, you're comfortable multitasking and prioritizing. You've done it all the time.
That's true. And it's one of those things that every nurse learns very quickly, is how to assess and delegate what can be delegated and to assign priorities. And I guess assigning priorities to students who need assistance is no different.
Yeah, it's just a little bit different way of doing it. And just takes a little bit of practice, but usually most faculty, again, they get it very quickly because they're used to doing it.
So if you're a nurse and you're thinking about moving into education, do you need to get your master's degree first, or is this something you can begin precepting at the BSN level?
Yeah, it really depends where you want to start. Most everyone knows there's diploma programs, associate degree programs, bachelor's programs, and those are all basic entry-level nursing programs. Many diploma programs will hire a BSN or a master's trained nurse, depending on their state board. And I'm going to have to talk about Maryland's state board requirements because we're a Maryland school. But for Maryland, you have to be a minimum of BSN with 2 years experience to teach. For an associate degree program, if you have your bachelor's degree, you can teach in the clinical setting, so you can take students into the clinical setting, but you cannot teach theory per se. You have to have your master's degree to teach theory. In a bachelor's program, the minimum is a master's for clinical, and then you can teach theory with a master's or a doctorate.
Okay, so experienced BSN nurses can at least begin the process in some cases. And
they can in most diploma programs and in associate degree programs.
Right, and then they can look at getting their master's degree. Now, do they get a traditional master's in education, or is there a specific master's degree in nursing education?
There's a couple ways to go with that. You should have your bachelor's in nursing if you're going to start teaching. You can get a master's in nursing. You can get a master's in nursing education. Most state boards of nursing have decided that it should be in some form of nursing, that it really, for example, years ago it used to be a master's in education would work, or a master's in psychology. And most state boards of nursing have decided that that's not appropriate. It should be a master's in nursing. Now, they don't mind if it's in cardiopulmonary, oncology, psychology, you know, as your focus in your master's in nursing, but it has to be a master's in nursing education. If you have a bachelor's in another area and you are, you know, say you go and get your ADN, then you still are not able to teach even though you have a bachelor's because it's in another content area. You'd have to then either get an additional bachelor's in nursing, or I would recommend go straight on for your master's in nursing if you want to teach.
Great, great. Now, you talked about doctoral degrees and doctoral programs, and as you look in the news, you see that some of these programs are ramping up, or some colleges and universities are creating new programs. Is that happening at a rate that you think is going to be sufficient to tackle the staffing problems?
Probably not. I mean, but there's only so fast that programs can grow based on qualified faculty to teach them. Most schools, not all, but most schools are going to two tracks for doctoral degrees, either a PhD or what is fairly new, a doctorate of nursing practice. Many of the degrees that are doctorates of nursing science, I'm trying to think of some others, but that's the one that comes to mind at the moment, are going to disappear, and that there's going to be two types of doctorates in nursing, a research-focused doctorate, which is the PhD, which doesn't mean you can't teach, but that there's a primary in creating and research and conducting research, or the doctorate of nursing practice, which is going to be, the focus is going to be application and integration of research. You won't necessarily be conducting it. You can, but your focus is going to be using the research or the results from research that's been generated by the PhDs. There's such a lag time right now between research that gets conducted and how quickly it gets translated into practice. I mean, it's like something like 15 years, believe it or not, for most research to actually get integrated into practice. That's an incredibly long time. So nursing is going to try to combat that by having two different tracks for doctoral studies. Again, one for conducting research and one for applying and integrating research in practice. Primarily, most of your doctoral degrees will go to these two forms.
Christy, I had a question from a listener recently by email asking about becoming a nurse practitioner and some of the challenges involved with that. Is there a requirement for that to be a doctoral program, or is it an MSN sufficient?
Mm-hmm. Well, currently most programs, and I'll say most because it's starting to switch, are masters for nurse practitioners. And there are many, many programs in the area for nurse practitioners and their masters. However, there is a push, and the American Nurses Credentialing Center has also come out with a statement in support of this, that eventually all nurse practitioners will have their doctorates of nursing practice. That's a huge change for the profession, and I think the deadline that the profession has set is 2015. Now, will that happen? I don't know, Jamie. Right now there's such a shortage of nurse practitioners and mid-level practitioners, if you count PAs also, that I'm not sure that that goal will happen, and I'm not sure that it'll be pushed real aggressively, because you risk disenfranchising all the NPs who have master's degrees right now, because they'll still be able to practice, they'll be grandfathered in, but there's a sense that many of them are very upset about this whole push and this whole idea. So I think that for some in the profession, it'll be a goal eventually. but I'm not sure how quickly it will happen. Now, there are some programs that are working towards that, and we'll be developing a BSN to DMP program, which will be combining the education available in a master's degree and the education available in a doctorate of nursing practice. So I think that people who are interested in being MPs should be aware that this is happening and should probably spend a little time, you know, Googling on the internet, see what's happening in the area. Again, the deadline is 2015, so we do have a little ways to go. And I'm not convinced that deadline won't move out. I don't know. I'm just thinking about it and thinking about the debate. It may get moved. But if I were looking at master's programs or looking at being an MP at this point, I'd probably look into that a little bit and then make my judgment based on the quality of the program I'm in. What is it I want to do long term? You know, what's available in my area that's cost effective and things like that.
Great. Well, that's good advice. And I think, you know, everybody could probably talk to the colleges they're looking at as well. They probably would have some good information for them about where their program is heading.
They will. Yeah, and that is true. It's individual colleges are making up their mind as how they want to handle it. For example, I know University of Maryland is creating a BSN to DMP program. They're not getting rid of their MSN program, but at this point they're creating a track, what they see is for the future. Again, I happen to know that they're doing it. I'm not sure how many others are doing it that quickly.